So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14. We've been talking about being ambassadors of Christ, and we're going to continue on today in that 2 Corinthians 5:14. So we'll review a little bit and then go forward. 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So it says there in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So we've been talking about that we are ambassadors. Each one of us in this room, in the body of Christ, is an ambassador for God himself. And we're all called to different things. We all have different gifts. But we are all ambassadors. Every single one of us, when we become a Christian, we are put in a position of being an ambassador. Part of what we do is that we are, as it's as if God himself were here on the earth, imploring people to be reconciled to himself. And now to accomplish that, he's put gifts into each one of us. Everybody in the body of Christ has special gifts and spiritual gifts. You know, like we talked about back in verse 16, it says, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." That these spiritual gifts, which we're going to read several more scriptures about, these spiritual gifts that we've been given to accomplish our roles as ambassadors, they're not just natural things. It's not like, well, you have personality A or B or C, or, you know, you have these attributes in the natural, and so that means that you're called to do this. Spiritual gifts aren't like that. God will use your spiritual, your natural abilities, but you're spiritually gifted to be walking in a certain vein. You know, not just in all types of walks of life, that we are gifted, we're given a grace by God Almighty to stand and to do a certain thing in this life. We're not all the same ambassadors. We're not just cut out of the same cookie cutter mold. We're all different, and God has called us to do a specific thing. He can see, we can't see it all, but he can see our whole life out in front of us. It's all just there. You know, over in Psalm 139, it talks about the things that we'll do in this earth, you know, written out. That God sees us doing a certain thing. He's got our race planned out for us. Now, he also has every backup plan imaginable in that race, because he knows we're not going to run it, the perfect plan. So he's got every backup plan imaginable. So if we turn here, he's still got a way to get us back on the straight. If we get up and we start going over here, he's still got a way to get us back on the place that he wants us to. But he has a plan that each one of us can run this race, and he sees how he wants us to run it, what we're called to do that somebody isn't called to do. And he has it planned out for us. And our job is just to find out what that is, find out how he's gifted us, and run that race. Because if we try to run somebody else's race, it won't go so well for us, because we're not equipped for it. We're not equipped. You're not equipped to run my race, and I'm not equipped to run your race. They're different races. They're different terrains. You know, biking. You try to take a road bike into the mountain, you know, where a mountain bike should go, it's not going to work. You try to take a mountain bike where a road bike should go, you're going to be going very slowly. Your tires, you know, are fat. They're smaller. You can't go as fast. Your bike has suspension, which is going to take, you know, energy away from you. Your road bike is meant to go straight and fast on a road. just like a race car is. The suspension is not there. You don't want to be going over bumps on a road bike. Mountain bike has suspension. It's too, you know, we would see that in the natural that, hey, you're trying to run with the in the Tour de France with the mountain bike. You got the wrong equipment, buddy. You're not going to win. You know, here you got all these fast guys with their helmets and aerodynamic, and you got this guy on the mountain bike just, hey, you know, I'm entered, I'm going to win. And you go, get off the road, you're not going to win. You're in the wrong race. But so many times in the natural, we try to do the same thing. We're not equipped, but we see somebody else doing something and say, hey, that's a pretty good idea. So we get in the road race with our mountain bike and try to start going, and it's not working. Why isn't it working? Because we're in the wrong race. We're not doing what God has told us to do. We got some idea that, hey, this is what it means to be a Christian, so I'm going to go do this. And so I got this idea through something that this is, if you're really a Christian, you'll do this. So I'm going to do this. God's not telling us to do this. He's telling us to do this, and he's giving us the equipment to do this over here. And so our what we need to do is figure out what God has called us to do. The way we do that is by spending time with him and just following the Holy Spirit inside of us, peace. We go the right way where God has called us, and you know what? We'll be equipped to do what he's called us to do. He's never going to tell us to do something that we are not equipped to do. And you know, other people are not equipped to do what you're called to do either. Other people might look at you and say, how in the world do you do that? How can you do that so efficiently? How come if I tried to do that, it'd take me days to do that? You bang it out in an hour. How do you do that? It's grace of God. Now, there are natural gifts. Like I said, there's people that can do natural abilities better than anybody else. But when we're flowing with what God has called us to do, he spiritually equipped us to do that. And your natural abilities will follow what you're called to. He'll use your natural abilities and what you're called to do spiritually, but he doesn't need your natural abilities. He can get the job done, like I mentioned, with a donkey. He can get the job done. He does not need our natural abilities. He can bypass whatever he needs to bypass to get his job done. So the first thing is we want to say, God, what have you called me to do? Because everything will follow from that. He'll take your natural abilities and he'll make them into what he needs to be because you are called. You are called by Almighty God to do something. The highest authority in the universe has called each one of us to do something. If he's called you to do it, it's going to happen if we'll just walk with him. He's called me to do that. Okay, I'm going to do it. Guess what? It's going to happen. Nothing can stand in the way of it happening when we are lining up with the king's orders. He's going to make the one that rules the world, the one that put all the laws of physics in place, that knows every person on the face of the earth. He knows what connections need to be made. He knows every bit of knowledge that we haven't even unturned yet. He knows. So he knows how to get the job done. He's not reliant on I don't have a degree to do that. We have God Almighty. Now, if he tells you to get a degree, get the degree. But the degree is not going to hold up the king of the universe getting something done. A degree is man's, what they confer on somebody to say, you know this. If we are hooked up with the king of the universe and he says, now you do this, I don't care what man tells you can or cannot do it, you are lined up with the king and you are going to walk in what you're supposed to walk in because you are equipped to do what nobody else is equipped to do. Amen. Amen? And so we line up with him, nothing, and no one can stop us. The only one that can stop us is ourselves. By believing that what he says to do is too hard, or that we start looking and regarding ourselves according to the flesh and say, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I can't do that. Look at these other people. Man, me? Like they did, you know, trying to enter in the promised land. The Israelites, they went and said, man, these people are giants. We're nothing. We can't do it. Well, they talked themselves out of it. But God was in it. God said, you go and possess the land. See, he was giving them an order. If they would have hooked up, and see, I'm not picking on them because many of us would have done the same thing. We are supposed to learn. Let's not be like that. It's so easy to see that. Well, duh, you should have followed God and it would all gone well. But it didn't look like that for them. They're walking around going, it'd be like today, you know, you walk around in a business area you don't think you have any business being in or some, you know, job or whatever, and you're looking around going, man, these people are sharp. Well, look at these people. They have money, wealth, education, whatever, and God's telling you to go do this. Well, they're giants. You have two choices. You can say, I'm not doing this. There's no way. Did I miss God? No, you're sure that this is what God is. Then you have a choice whether you're going to go on with it or back up and say, I can't do it. If you go on with it and God's there, it's going to work. God has a way. God has a way to make it work, and He's not dependent on us. We can't look at the natural. We don't discount the natural. Nobody said to go off and be really weird and just discount the natural. When you discount the natural is when God's telling you to do something that contradicts it. Otherwise, God gave us a brain. There's no reason to discount the natural unless what God is telling us to do flies in the face of what we think we can't do. We still go with God. And guess what? It'll work. So, we don't regard ourselves according to the flesh. We are ambassadors for God. We are all graced to do what God has called us to do, and we are equipped. So we read over there in Romans, we're not going to read all through this again, but in Romans 12, we read some scriptures. And let's just run through some stuff quick. I still think we'll run through, just read it real quick. Romans 12, 1. Let's just turn over there. There's just so much here. And, you know, this is just central to our lives as Christians. That if we just get in our place, everything will flow from just getting in our place. When we're not in our place, or we think we need to be in somebody else's place, or we think we need to be doing something else because somebody said this is the way you do it, and we try to put a formula into our life where it doesn't fit, it messes everything up. And then our daily lives are constantly grinding, and they're not flowing like they should because we're trying to run somebody else's race. Romans 12. 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. He's saying we're each given a grace, the unmerited favor of God, something that you could not produce, something that we can't produce, something that we can't put there. We've been given a gift, each one of us, multiple gifts. And all our gifts make up this body, like he says in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then he goes on and lists, and you could extend this list. He's just saying, if your gift is X, then do X. If it's prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith that's been given to you. Like he said back in verse 3, he said, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He said, don't think of yourself highly, more highly than you ought, because each one's been dealt a measure of faith. Each one's been given a gift. So he's saying, if your gift is prophecy, prophesy where you're at the level you're at in proportion to your faith, do that job. If it's giving, then give. If it's ministering, then minister. He didn't say if your gift is, prophesying, then go give. That's what he said, follow whatever I've given to you, whatever God has given to you, do that. Do it at the level you're at. Do it where your faith is at. And when your faith, you'll do it at this level, then you'll get higher, and you'll do it at this level, and you keep going up with God as your faith increases and as you walk that path that He has ordained for us. We'll keep going further and further in the things, but He said, follow your gift. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do what you're called to do and be content in that, and you'll be good at it. We'll be good at it. You don't have to work to be you. I mean, we know this, but you know, it's just so easy to start going over here and feeling the pressure that we really should be different than we are. Now, I'm not saying we're all growing. We're all getting better. We're all doing what we believe God should call us to do. There's all those things. But nobody can be you like you can be you. That sounds like such a simple statement. We've heard such things, but really, we got to get it to where we are the best at being what God has called us to do. There is nobody in the world that is an ambassador the same way each of us are. Nobody. And nobody, see, our race is specific, and it's not just general equipment. God's given us very specific equipment to accomplish a very specific mission. And He didn't just add a bunch of stuff in our backpack that we didn't need. He put things that we need. And so if we'll just say, look, I've got no matter what we feel like, if we say, I got everything that I need, God has seen ahead and made provision for me right where I'm at. It may not look like it. It may look like I don't. It may look like I'm in over my head. It may look like what the heck is going on now. But if we just realize that in my backpack, God has already packed everything I need. He's seen ahead thousands of years before I even, you know, was breathing. He knows what was coming, and He's prepared me. And if I blew it somewhere, God's grace is sufficient. If we missed it somewhere and we know it, we just say, God, I missed it. Now, get me back on track. And He'll get us back on track. Never do we have to get to the place where it's like, you know what? I missed it back there. I'm never going to be what God told me to be. Never. That's the devil. He wants to derail us. He wants to get us to think, it's over for me. It's never over. God is never defeated. He never gets put. He's never surprised. So He saw, like I said a while ago, He saw every mistake you were going to make, and He has a backup plan. Backup plan number 105,641 into operation now. You know, they've gone deep, but I was ready. I was deeper than you think. You know, they got all kinds of logistics. They got everything planned. He's never surprised. Like, we're all out of ideas now. This one, I don't know what happened. They've gone way off in the weeds. No. God knows. He knew what you were going to do. And He said, I got a plan. Now, they're going to do this. I know them. I'm going to give them the chance to go over here, but they're going to go over here. And then they're going to go over here. Now, they're going to get back over here, but then they're going to go over here. And so, I know where they're going to be, and I know. See, He's got shortcuts. So, I don't know all, you know, I took stuff in physics and, you know, didn't get that far. You know, you had to take a certain amount of physics and quantum physics. That stuff is bizarre, I'm telling you. When you know, time slows down when you're going fast and things tunnel through different things. When you look at it, it changes what is actually being, just weird stuff. You know, they talk about wormholes and stuff that can go right through the fabric of time and space and get to, you know, they don't know everything that exists. The scientists don't. But they have theories, you know, where you can go from one side of the universe to here, cross all these hundreds of thousands, millions of miles like that because there's the way the fabric of the universe is set. I don't know everything about that. What I'm saying is, though, God has ways to get us back on track when man says it's impossible. Well, God knows more than we do. So He's got a way to get from here to here when it looks like there is no way. It's going to take 30 years for you to get back there. No, it is. God says it'll be done by next week. Do you know that? I mean, do you believe that? God Almighty is not limited. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. And if you are an ambassador and you realize I'm an ambassador for God, I may not be the most perfect ambassador, but He doesn't have a perfect one working for Him, so I'm qualified because of Jesus. You know, somebody said, God has never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. We're not going to be the first ones. We're qualified because of Jesus, not because of us. So He knows we're not going to do it perfect. He factored that into the plan. That doesn't mean He ordains our mistakes. He means He knows who He's dealing with. He's not dealing with perfection. That's Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus, so that we could walk in life and not always be condemned and be able to come before Him, because Jesus is perfect. So we walk on and we do what He's told us to do. And He says, I got a backup plan. You just walk with me. You do the best you can in the gift I've given to you at the level you're at, and I'll take care of the race. The rest, that's His grace. His grace makes up for our failures. So you just do what you're called to do. If you're called to be an encourager, exhortation, encourage people. Not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody's good at it. Some people just make you feel good when you're around them. That's a gift. To some people, you're around them, you don't really necessarily want to be around them. I mean, it's a gift to be like that. It's a gift. That, you know, some people are just gifted to make money and give it. People try to get into business, and they think everybody can do that, and they go, they follow, you know, when everybody has already made their money. No, there's people that are gifted to do that. My point is God needs us in every area of life. Period. I believe that with my whole heart. You know, let me tell you something. There's an attitude that I think, and I've seen in certain places, that somehow, you know, if you're really spiritual, you'll be in the ministry. That's just not true. And it's almost like it's exalted, they lifted the apostle, prophet, pastor. No, you know what? Whatever we're called to do that the king asks us to do, that's what we do. Every job is important. Do you know what I'm saying? A company, if it's run, maybe it has a CEO. That guy is leading everything. If you have engineers, they're important because you're not going to have a product. But guess what? You don't have salespeople, you're not going to sell anything. You're not going to make any money. You got people to market it. They're all important, and they're all vital for the company to work correctly. And that's exactly the way it is with the body of Christ. We do not choose our gifting. God does. We go to Him and He says, you're called to do this. I've equipped you to do this. Now do it. That's all. Our job is just to decide that we're going to follow Him. And we are all important. God needs doctors. He needs lawyers. He needs teachers. He needs homemakers. He needs engineers. He needs salespeople. He needs real estate people. He needs every facet, every profession. He needs people there that will do what He has called them to do and be sensitive to Him. He needs ambassadors. It'd be like the ambassador, you know, to the Philippines going and saying, you know what, I really wanted to be to Canada, so I'm going to go and show up. Well, you know what? You're not supposed to be there. You're not called to be there. Be where we're supposed to be, and we'll be good at it. Thank God. Thank God. God has just gifted us. And so let's go over, we're going to skip, you know, we also read some stuff in Ephesians, we're going to skip that. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. For if one member suffers, all members suffer with it, and if one member is honored, all the members are rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he talks about love. But he's saying, in essence, if every body part were the same, where's the body? It's a freak if you have just a bunch of eyes all over the place. You know, I want to be the eye, or I want to be the hands. You just have hands all over. Everybody wants to be a hand. It doesn't make any sense in the natural, yet sometimes we're tempted to do that. Well, I want to be a hand, but I'm definitely an eye. Everybody says I'm an eye. I'm obviously gifted to be eye, but I don't like that. I want to be a hand. And so we want to go be the hand. And then there's some things, you know, he's saying that are unpresentable parts. Then there's things like your stomach. Stomach, hopefully you never see your stomach. It's a bad thing if you ever see your stomach. If you ever see your intestines, something happened. That's not good. If you ever see, you know, your muscles, it's not, you know, you see the raw, it's not good. You don't see those things. But I tell you what, you don't want to live without them. You know, you can live without a right arm, but you can't live without your stomach. Can't live without your heart. I mean, you know, without probably some major medical equipment going on to keep you alive. I mean, you know what? You can't, it doesn't work. But how stupid would be, well, we don't need a stomach. Get that out of here. Nobody can see the stomach. I don't want to be the stomach. Who wants to be the stomach? I tell you what. I like my stomach the way it is. I've never seen it. It tells me when it needs some more to eat. That's about it. Tells me when it's too full. When I've overstuffed it. That's good. I like my relationship. I don't want to see the stomach. You know, but somebody, because we don't see it, there's people in the same way. It's like, you know, you want to be the flashy person or whatever. That's the devil. That's the devil telling us that we are very good, equipped to do what we're called to do. And the devil says, well, you're not them. Who cares? Honestly, I know that sometimes it's harder to said than done because the devil knows our weaknesses and he comes about and he's smart. He's not stupid. If we don't stay on the side of God, he'll whip us. But if we just stay on the side of God and say, no, it doesn't matter. This is what God's called me to do. He cannot take us down at all. But if we listen, we'll all get it. We all have points where we'll be tempted. We all have areas that we're weak. Something happened when we were a little kid. We still have something that, boy, I wish I could have done this. Devil was there. He knows that, and he'll take it, and he'll talk to you and say, well, you know, this guy, he's way better at this. And it plays on something that's 25 years old. If you're not careful, you'll get off and start moving over here just because of something, and it's the devil just trying to play you in a trap. But no, if we'll just stay with God and say, you know what, God, you've called me to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm gifted to do this, and I'm going to do it. You know what? We're unstoppable. Because there's nobody that's called to do what we're doing. And nobody that has our place. Nobody that has our equipment. Think about that. There is nobody that can do what you're called to do. It's a special plan that God has put out in front. And he said there's one person. One person out of the 6.5 billion that can do this exact thing. Now other people can do parts of the job. But for the thing I've called you to do, you are it. Now, he's got backup plans for that, too. But I'm saying there is something so unique that he has called us to do that we are equipped to do it. And if we'll just stand up and say, that's me. This is what I'm called to do, and I'm proud to do it. I'm proud to do this job. I'm proud because this is what I am, and I'm content to do this, and God has called me. And one day we'll stand before the King of the universe, and it doesn't matter who else gave us accolades, who else said what about us. We'll stand before the King of the universe, and he'll know, and we'll know that we did the right thing. We did what he called us to do, and that will be important, and there will be rewards. And so we don't get sidetracked by what we see in the natural or what it looks like or what we feel like. We go before God and only each one of us can do this. Nobody can do it for us. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I don't know your life. I don't know what you're called to do, but God does. And you can get that from God and he'll lead you and he'll nudge you and he'll direct you and he'll keep you on the right path. And then we'll get to the right place and we'll all stand before Jesus someday. And we'll be so glad that we did what he called us to do. We'll say it was all worth it. And then we'll take our crowns and we'll throw it at his feet because we know it wasn't any of us anyway. Thank God.